because of his choice led to her choices. He limited her ability to choose God. In other words, he took her to a place that put her in a position where this happened to her.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we continue a study from Judges chapter 11. Our message is called Always Daddy's Little Girl. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, hope that you'll go listen online. But really, we're taking a look at the foolishness of Jephthah's vow. And Pastor, as you said yesterday so succinctly, he made a vow to God that if God would give him victory in a battle, the first thing that came out of his tent, out through his door, he would sacrifice. And that ended up being his daughter. We talked about the foolishness of that vow. And for me as a parent, and I'm sure for other parents listening, we think some of the decisions that we've made, foolish decisions that we've made, may be impacting our kids in a real negative way. How can we turn things around?
Well, the good thing about it is our God is Yahweh. And he said he'll restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. One of the things that I did, now I didn't raise girls. I have three daughters now, but I didn't raise any of them. But yeah. I call them my daughters. They're my daughters. But I did raise boys, and I had to go to them along the way and confess, you know, Dad made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I need you to forgive me. I trust that you will forgive me for this mistake. And my boys are grown now, grown and gone. Wait a minute. I have to take what we call a praise break. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. They are out of my home and they're out of my pocket. Hallelujah.
But I know you have grandkids who probably are that pocket.
Oh, they're raiding it all the time. Yeah. I got to tell you, Steve, what they do to me. And my wife made them stop. After church, I come home and eat and then let the TV watch me.
Yeah.
And I'll be sleeping. And they'll come up and they'll say, Papa, they'll shake me. They call me Papa. Papa, Papa, can we have $50? Yeah, yeah, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. So then I wake up and I say, you know, where's my money? My money's gone. Well, you told us we could have $50, you know? Yeah, yeah, so my wife stopped them from doing that. They do it to me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's what we need to do, Steve. We need to actually share with our children that we made some mistakes in raising them, and these could be some of the consequences. We share with them what the possible consequences are,
yeah,
and try to give them as much information and insight as we can. And then we just depend upon God to reestablish and to restore and to set things the way they ought to be set.
Yeah. Amazing how he can redeem some of our foolish decisions.
Oh, yes.
and bring good out of that, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Well, right now we are going to dive into Judges chapter 11. So I hope you'll open your Bible. Join us there as we continue a message called Always Daddy's Little Girl. Here is Pastor Ford.
Daddy is supposed to protect daughter, keep as much drama out of her life as possible. Educate her so that she comprehends men. You know, I love Discovery Channel, so watching Discovery Channel. It began to talk about Jupiter. This thing interests me, man. So I said, okay, what are they going to say about Jupiter? You ever seen these pictures where they talk about asteroids coming to the Earth? And if it hits the Earth, it's going to break the Earth apart. It can't happen. It will never happen. Ask me why. Because of Jupiter. Jupiter has 318 times the gravity of Earth, which means when asteroids are coming toward the Earth, Jupiter draws them to itself and it crashes. 15 years ago, some asteroids hit Jupiter that scientists say had more accumulative effect than if you took all the atomic bombs of all the nations and put them in one bomb. One asteroid that hit Jupiter had more power than them, and there were hundreds of them that hit Jupiter. Fragments bounced off, Brother Charles, off of Jupiter, and some of it came to Earth. But the bulk of it can never happen because Jupiter draws the drama to itself. Amen. So that, yes, some things get through, but not the big things that could destroy, because Jupiter is there. Now, the Romans didn't even know this. But General, guess what the name Jupiter means? It's Roman. Guess what it means? Sky Father. The word Jupiter means Sky Father. In other words, we're protected not by our Heavenly Father only. He put a Sky Father. He said, there, yeah, I'm going to put a natural thing here in the sky so you can get an idea of what the earthly father is supposed to do. You got a sky father protecting the earth, and you got a heavenly father protecting his daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep it up, man. Give you your kudos, man. Raising them girls, that's it. And I love what you tell them. I know they don't like it, but I love it. Amen. I was talking to him on the phone, and I heard him say, wait, Pastor, wait a minute. Where are you going? With who? And what time do you think you're getting back here? This is what time you're getting back here. You remember when I was on the phone and you said that? Okay, Pastor, I'm sorry. I had to take care of a little business. But Vern raising his girls. Amen. Yeah, that's it. And so that's what he was supposed to do, but he didn't. I saw a guy with a shirt, and I said, oh, man, that's going to preach. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm a preacher, and I carry a notebook and pad because illustrations are everywhere, and you just gave me an illustration. I don't know when I'm going to preach it, but you just gave me an illustration. He said, really, you would preach this in church? I said, of course. He said, what church are you at? Here's what a shirt said. If you want to date my daughter, you better remember three things. Number one, I have a lawyer. Number two, I have a gun. Number three, I got an alibi. That's good stuff. And here's what gets me. Guess what Jephthah's name means? Say, what does it mean? It means to set free. And here this man was to set her free. He brought her into bondage. Survey was done analyzing the average father's week. The average father spends 40 hours at work, 56 hours sleeping, 20 hours eating, 15 hours commuting, 18 hours watching TV, and 7 hours with his children. That's an hour a day. We average in 2.5 times more TV time than we are with our children, and we wonder what's wrong with the children. Father kept telling the daughter, after work, we're going to do something. We're going to do something. So finally, after work would come, she's waiting, and he says, I got some work. I got to do the work. It'd take 2 or 3 hours more, and she'd be ready for bed, and they didn't have any time together. This happened day after day after day after day. Finally, Thursday, she said to him, she said, Daddy, how much money do you make? He said, well, I make about $25 an hour. A couple minutes later, he heard something break. She came back in with all these coins and change and little crumpled up dollar bills. She had broken up her piggy bank, and she said, here's $25. Can I buy an hour of your time? Yeah, I want to show you something. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let me show you something. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So what happened? David and his boys are hobnobbing with the Philistines. I don't know. Maybe they went to the game. I don't know. Maybe they went bowling. Maybe they went golfing. I don't know where they went. But they were with the Philistines. Now, start at verse 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Okay, some of you are saying, okay, why you read that? I don't get it. Okay, here, let me see if I can help you get it. David and his men should have been protecting the wives and the children in Ziklag. But they was hobnobbing, hanging with their homeboys, the Philistines. And the verse tells us how many days were the nights were they with the Philistines? 3 days and three nights. When did the Amalekites attack? The third day. Okay, see there, right over your head. You didn't get it. David was with them 3 days and three nights. The Amalekites attacked on the morning of the third day, which means if they would have carried their behinds home, they would have been there 12 hours before the Amalekites ever attacked, and their wives and children would have never been taken. Yeah, you look at this thing, man. You know and I know this is going on, and it's affecting our community. She carried the baggage of his career. You know, I have children, and my children, they went through. In the early days, they went through, and I confess this to them. I confess to them that sometimes the way I treated them was based on trying to please the congregation. I confess that to my boys and ask their forgiveness for doing stuff like that to them. And people, and some of you know, look at, well, you know better. Five kids acting up, preacher's kids. You should know better. Matter of fact, my son is writing a book about that. And the first chapter is, you should know better. Yeah, title's going to be, or the chapter, you should know better. And then underneath, why? And talk about that. Yeah. And I tell you all the time, you know why the preacher's kids are so bad? Say why? Because they play with the deacon's kids. And so what happens here? Man, it is she carries the baggage of his career.
Boy, how many little girls, little boys for that matter, grow up carrying the baggage of their fathers? You're listening to a message called Always Daddy's Little Girl, and really some practical takeaways that we can pull out of this passage from Judges chapter 11 and begin to apply to our lives. Well, whether you've been listening to Treasured Truth for a long time or just a very short period of time, I want to say thanks for listening. Also want to let you know that this is a listener-supported broadcast, and that's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep the program on the air, to pay for production costs and airtime and all the things that happen behind the scenes. So if you value Pastor Ford's teaching, would you give a gift today? Come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the donate button. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Notice secondly, she carries the baggage of his choices. Verse 30, he makes the vow. So what? The first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to sacrifice to you. Aren't you thinking? You must not be. This is the daughter who loves you. She comes out, you read the text, she comes out dancing with a timbrel. What's she doing? She's celebrating her daddy's victory. She's elevating him. He done brought her down. Wow. Her future is futile because of his failure. Wanting acceptance by folks who rejected him. Making a rash vow to God that you really didn't need to make. You say, what are you talking about? Okay, see, we good in the church of this. Look at that girl. Look at she pregnant, blah, 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 blah. And we judge them. Don't be looking all holy now. We judge them. But have you ever thought, what happened before all this? That could, now, I'm not saying she's not responsible for her choices, and we in the church, we just like John 8 when it says they caught a woman in the act of adultery and in the very act. And we talked about that before. Well, if you caught her in the very act, where the man?
Yes.
And then like I told you, first question come to my mind, because this is the way my mind works. How they know where to find her in the act? And so what happens here? You made a choice and she got to suffer the consequences of your choice. Okay, I'm going to show you one. Come with me now. Go to Genesis. Stick with me. I ain't going to be too much longer. Just another hour and a half. Go to Genesis chapter 34. Let me tell you the story real quick. It says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob. This is Genesis 34:1. You should be there. It's the first book in the Bible. If you went to the New Testament, you went way too far. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Here it is now. She gets raped. What's your point? Jacob met God at Penuel. Remember, he wrestled with him across the Jabbok River? He wrestled with God. And so it looked like he was limping, but he was really pimping. Because it's the battle you want to lose, you get swag when you wrestle with God and lose. So he crosses over the brook Jabbok and meets his brother at Succoth. Now in Penuel, God said, go back to Bethel. Now if you'll see the map, what you'll find is, see Penuel, see it? Can you see it there? And then you see Succoth across the river. Then you see Shechem, see it? Shechem. Where's Bethel? Succoth, Bethel. Penuel, Bethel. Shechem is halfway to Bethel. Now, get this. Where did God tell him to go? Bethel. If he'd have took his behind to Bethel, his daughter would not have gotten raped. She made a choice to go to, a party of Canaanites, but... What's that thing down in Miami they all go to? Spring break. So what happens? Because he stopped there, she could choose to go to the party. If he would have went to Bethel where he was told to go, she couldn't have made it to the party. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because of his choice led to her choices. He limited her ability to choose godly. After all, she's a preacher's kid. She's been in church all her life. All she knows is Bible and Yahweh and sacrifices and altars. That'd look good to any church person who's trying to get their liberty. Tired of going to church with mama, especially the one we go to. We got that big black preacher hollering at everybody. In other words, he put her in a position. He took her to a place that put her in a position where this happened to her. Man, some women were girls who got molested because their daddy didn't know how to draw the line with his buddies. Man, she a cute little something. She gonna be a little foxy something. Man, that's my daughter you talking. You better watch your mouth. I mean, we boys, I'll break your neck. Here, come on, girl. Let Uncle So. You ain't her uncle, and you ain't giving her no money. I give her money. Now, you want her to have some money, you give it to me on the side. Get up. Don't you dare sit in his lap. Don't you dare. That's right. It's tight, but it's right. Man, you let them get all comfortable and all that. They just think that's okay. Daddy didn't say anything. Sets it up. In 2002, January 5th, 14-year-old girl Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped. And it made national news. Here's what got me. She was gone for 9 months.
Finally, when they finally recovered her, she had Stockholm Syndrome. Go Google it. I ain't got time. Stockholm Syndrome, like Patty Hearst. If some of y'all don't remember her name, Google that too. And so what happened? On national TV, the father said, when I found out finally, because the other sister remembered she had heard the voice of the man to kidnap her sister before, he said, I brought that man into my home, crying on TV. He said, that's my fault. I didn't know that man and brought that man into my home. And now my daughter has to go through this. She's since written a book. She's gotten married, everything. Her book was a bestseller, man. Because it just talked about, you know, all the things that happened. In other words, you can stabilize your daughter emotionally. I like my friend, Reverend Harold Davis. Here's what he says. Listen to this. Here's what he told his daughter. Baby, Daddy wants to talk to you about romance. Romance is a wonderful thing. It's one of the pleasures that God has given men and women to be shared together. However, I feel that I should caution you because romance is a woman's weakness and men know it. When I dated your mama, I romanced her. I did the flower thing, the long walk thing, the talk for hours thing, and dinners by candlelight thing. See, we guys will be romantic to get the woman because we know that women are suckers for romance. Have you heard the saying, men give romance to get sex and women give sex to get romance? You need to be mindful of the fact that men will play you and they will work the romantic angle in an effort to win you. Meanwhile, you will become frustrated because many men do not continue to be romantic after they win you. So I want you to be aware, there may be a lot of romance in the beginning of the relationship, but the real test of romance is how long will it continue after the relationship gets going. Wow. Then he ends up by saying, romance is hard work for most men, and God made women to respond to romance. The bottom line is that romance will be the road that he takes to get to your heart.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and wouldn't it be great if every dad was able to pour into their little girls like this? You're listening to a message taken from Judges chapter 11, where we see the foolishness of Jephthah and pulling out some of the lessons that we can learn from his mistakes so that our little girls are not carrying our baggage. Well, if you want to go back and listen to the first broadcast or message in this series, you can do that by coming to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You can also sign up there to begin podcasting so you don't miss a future broadcast. Another way to listen is to have the Moody Radio app. Now, both the podcast and the app are free, and it just makes it convenient to listen on the go as it fits your schedule. Come to our website and sign up at treasuredtruthradio.org. Hey, we know that sometimes you may be listening to something that Pastor Ford is teaching on, and there may be a question that comes to mind that he's not answering. And so if you do have a question about a certain Bible passage or what it means to apply some of the scripture and live out the Christian life in a godly way, you can go ahead and ask your question by coming to the website, treasuretruthradio.org, click on the contact link. You can give us some feedback and ask your question. We'll make sure that he sees those. And who knows, we might just answer one on a future broadcast. Again, come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.